With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Three encounters, risen Christ, but there's one lesson. Now, are there sub-lessons all over it? Yes, I could preach in Luke 24 until I go to meet Jesus. There are many insights, but there's one at 30,000 feet. The arrangement of these three encounters is communicating a central truth to you about your relationship with the risen Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Welcome. Stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, The Resurrection Day Ministry of Christ, Three Encounters, One Lesson. There were three ministry encounters that took place on the Lord's Resurrection Day. The morning encounter at an empty tomb, the afternoon encounter on the road to Emmaus, and the evening encounter in an enclosed room. As in each encounter, we see the unbelief present in those being ministered to, we see one crucial lesson emerge. Unless the Spirit of God opens the heart by the grace of God, no one can respond to the Word of God, either for salvation or for an intimate walk with Jesus Christ in sanctification. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 24. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, The Resurrection Day Ministry of Christ. Three encounters, one lesson.
They make their way to the disciples to tell them. And as they make their way to the disciples, and they come into the disciples and say, hey, we got there, and I don't know exactly how they said it, but it's something like this. Hey, we got there, the tomb was empty, two angels are there, Jesus wasn't there, and the angel said to us, why do you seek the living among the dead? And they reminded us, guys, remember when Jesus taught all of us, he's going to be delivered up, he's going to be crucified, on the third day he's going to rise again, and the tomb is empty. And they dismissed it as an idle tale. Oh my goodness. Obviously you've got something wrong. Not, oh, yes. No, your report must be wrong. Your gathering of the data must be wrong. What you're telling us, I know there's more than the 5, 6, 7, 8 of you, but hey, it doesn't matter. There's no way that it can be true. But Peter and John, Luke emphasizes Peter, they go. And as you know, John outran him. But Peter wants to know. You can imagine, Peter is walking with a lot of shame and guilt with his denials. And Peter goes to find out. Well, now, we fast forward to the afternoon. And you get the second encounter. Would you follow along with me? Would you open your Bibles? Make sure they're in front of you. Look in Luke chapter 24 and follow along with me at verse 13. Now that very day, so we're still on that first resurrection Lord's Day. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. So we've got an encounter at an empty tomb. Now we're going to have an encounter on the Emmaus Road. That very day, two of them going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you were holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, now Jesus isn't quite as gracious at this point as the angels were. He's pretty pointed. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Please note, he didn't say slow of heart to believe the women. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. So in other words, they've now arrived at Emmaus and at their home. And Jesus has now been invited in, even though he was willing to move on further, but they invited him in and he was ready to go in. And when they did, they sat down. But now Jesus, the guest, takes over and becomes the host. Here's what happens. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. How many times had that happened in front of them? And then when he did, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So here's our second encounter. The first, at an empty tomb. The second, on Emmaus. The first one, Jesus is risen but not present, but the women don't believe and the disciples don't believe. The women confused, the disciples dismissive. Now he is risen and present, but they didn't recognize him. Interestingly, it says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And then they begin to share. Well, you know, here's this Jesus. We loved him. We followed him. We thought he was the Redeemer. We thought he was the Messiah. And then they crucified him. Now, this is the third day, and there's something ringing in their mind. This is the third day. And these women have come and said that the tomb is empty and that they saw a vision of angels. And we just don't understand of this. And we are told by Jesus, who diagnoses them, is that they have a depressed or downcast, slow heart. Perhaps the reason they don't recognize him is they're not looking for him, because their heart is not being informed by the Word of God. It's being informed by others and experiences, but not the Word of God. And so they're trying to catalog all this. They're trying to understand this. And they're not sorting through it from the scriptures. They're sorting through it from their imagination instead of divine revelation. And they begin to work their way through it. And they're absolutely confused. And Jesus cuts to the quick, foolish ones. Foolish ones. And what is his remedy? Listen, can I not convince you that Joanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene are reliable witnesses? Can I convince you that angels should be believed when they show up? This isn't the first time. He doesn't take them to the witnesses although they're reliable. He doesn't take them to the experience, although it is true. He takes them to the Word. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, you are slow to believe the prophets, the Word of God, their Bible at that time. We call it the Old Testament, which was filled with prophetic words of the Redeemer, His atoning death, and His third day resurrection. And you have dismissed that. You have not believed that. That's what you have not done. You have not believed the Word. Now, I believe they believed in Him. I believe they loved Him, just like the women did. But they were not captivated in their relationship with Christ by the Word of God. They were captivated by their imagination through experiences. Therefore, they were lost in this maze of reports and tales and everything that's taking place. Jesus said, let's get to it. It's foolish to live that way. And He opened up the Scriptures. And then they said later, did not that slow heart burn while He spoke to us from the Scriptures? Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained Himself in all the Scriptures. The second thing that then they opened their eyes was when He broke the bread and He gave it to them. And there they partake of it together. Well, their hearts were not only burning, the road to Jerusalem from Emmaus got burned up as they left there and immediately went back to the disciples. They couldn't wait to get back there and tell them that they had, just as we heard sung a while ago, they'd seen Jesus. He is risen indeed. They had heard He is risen. Now they say He is risen indeed. And they make their way there as rapidly as possible. And as they arrive there, they find the disciples. And we have our third encounter to an enclosed room. An enclosed room where they have found themselves. Now let's just read that one and then I'll give you your takeaway. Here's the third encounter, the empty room. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Oh, this must be an apparition. This can't be Jesus. They're not believing. And He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? They're doubting. They're troubled. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they were still disbelieving, there it is again, that while they still disbelieved for joy and were marvelous, He said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate before them. So there you go. He said, let's eat some fish and chips. And so they get some fish, but Jesus is healthy. We're going to have it broiled. And so they have broiled fish. New body eats. Don't forget that. The new body eats. Then He said to them, these are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And He said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of My Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then fast forward, the last verses go to the 40th day in the ascension. But here He then sends them out after He opens their minds to understand the Scriptures. But what did they do? Now look at it, folks. Just look at it with me. He's not there and they don't believe in the first encounter. He is there and they don't believe in the second encounter. And they don't even recognize Him. The third one, they see Him, He's there, they recognize Him, but they still don't believe. This must be a ghost. This must be an apparition. They disbelieved with joy, but they disbelieved. And then what does Jesus do? He does the same thing with His disciples in that room that He did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He began to explain to them the Scriptures. He didn't go back and say, now look, disciples, this day is coming to a close. At the beginning, you heard from Mary Magdalene. You heard from the other Mary. You heard from Joanna. You heard from Susanna. You heard from Peter and John that went and came back and reported to you. You've now heard from the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Just how many witnesses do you need to believe. He knows the issue is not what they will do with their imagination from the experiences and witnesses of others. It is what do they do with divine revelation. That's the key. Now, folks, listen to me. Do not misunderstand me. I believe in the rational explanation of the gospel. I believe in reasoning with people. I believe it's a historical experience. I believe these witnesses witnessed a historical experience. But here's what I want you to understand. Nobody will ever believe in Jesus through anybody else other than Jesus sending the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to bring them from death into life. Until you get eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll always, with imagination, disbelieve and explain it away. So here's the takeaway. The takeaway is just as simple as I know to make it. Unless the Spirit of God opens the heart by the grace of God, no one can respond to the Word of God for salvation or for sanctification. That is, to come to Christ in salvation or to walk with Christ in sanctification. You are utterly dependent. See, these people are saved. I believe the disciples on the road to Emmaus, I think the women are saved, I think the disciples are saved. But they're still doubting the Word of God, and they're putting their imagination and experiences above the Word instead of the Word interpreting experiences. That's what they're doing. And that's what so many are doing today. I meet Christian after Christian who says to me, well, let me tell you who my Jesus is. Listen, here's what I want you to know. Not your Jesus, but I want your Jesus to be the Jesus the Bible reveals. He's not the Jesus of our imagination. He's the Jesus of divine revelation. Here, let me put it this way. We don't believe in the doctrine of the resurrection because of the witnesses. We believe in it because God said it would happen. And it happened. Did I not tell you? The witnesses are affirmation, not foundation. The rationale is affirmation, not foundation. It is divine revelation. In other words, let me put it this way. Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins. There was no other way, which is why the answer to his prayer request, if there's another way, let there be another way, was no. There's only one way. You've got to go to the cross to die for our sins. When they said to him, if you're the Christ, come down, they didn't realize because of what the Word of God had revealed, because he was the Christ, he must not come down. He must stay there to save us. He is fulfilling. Have you read? I've tried to emphasize it this entire week. He took sour wine. Why? Because he was thirsty? No, I'm sure he was thirsty. But that's not why he said. It said he took the wine that the Scripture might be fulfilled. They parted his garments that the Scripture might be fulfilled. All of this was that the Scripture might be filled. He died for our sins that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He was raised because the Scripture revealed he would be raised. That's why there's witnesses. That's why it makes sense. That's why the truth of God's Word is embraced when the Spirit of God opens our hearts and our minds. Folks, I sit down and I reason with people. I attempt to persuade people. I do it. But all the while that I'm sharing with people, here's what I know. Unless the Spirit of God opens their heart and their mind, they will dismiss. I don't care how fluent, how persuasive, how attractive, how, not me, but my presentation. I know good and well that I can't talk them into the kingdom. Only Jesus can bring them. Now, I'm going to be persuasive. Because God works through persuasion. But it's the Spirit of God that has to accomplish it. We plant, we water, but only God can give the increase. The women, as much as I admire them, they didn't believe what the Word of God said about the resurrection. I believe they were saved, but they didn't believe what the Word of God had said about the resurrection. The disciples disbelieved. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus disbelieved. The disciples that evening disbelieved. They did not believe in what the scriptures had said. They were still trying to sort it through by witnesses, by their own reason, and by their own processing. That's why I do not say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I like to say it this way, God said it, that settles it. I believe it. But you can't believe it, and I can't believe it, without the Spirit of God. In other words, Jesus is sending them, but let me put it this way. Jesus sends them to proclaim Him, but watch. There is a clear lesson, unmistakable, in these three encounters. You cannot be sent by God to go forth for Christ until Christ, with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, comes to you to bring you to Himself. You cannot go for Him until He comes for you. That's why we have the preaching of the Word and prayer. That's why we give out Bibles. That's why we talk about small group discipleship. That's why we talk about preaching. God has to come to you through the Word of God, and we pray by the power of the Spirit of God. The dead bones can't live. What kept them from recognizing Him? Their heart. That's why they didn't recognize Him. He's supposed to be with the dead. That's why they didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him because of their heart. What changed their heart? The Word of God with the Spirit of God. Did you see it? He opened their heart, which opened their mind, which opened their eyes, when He opened the Scriptures. And you and I can't open hearts, we can't open minds, we can't open eyes, but we can open the Scriptures and pray for the Spirit of God to move among men and women, to make them the people of God. Jesus doesn't appeal, didn't you believe the angels? Didn't you believe the women? Didn't you believe? No, what He appeals to is this. Don't you believe the Word of God? Then He opened it. The angels didn't appeal to their senses. They appealed to, He told you, the reason you see an empty tomb is because the Word of God had promised this to you. Christianity makes sense. Christianity has witnesses. Christianity brings experiences. But Christianity is true because the Word of God is true. And when the Spirit of God gives you a heart for the Word of God, then the witnesses make sense. Then the experiences flow. Because the heart is opened, the mind is opened, the eyes are opened, our lives are opened. It's true in conversion. So today, I told you, Jesus died for you according to the Scriptures. Jesus was raised according to the Scriptures. And there were witnesses, and it's a historical event, and this all makes sense. But I'm praying the Spirit of God gives you the sensibilities to come to Christ. Let me tell you what the world's going to offer you. You've got sin, you got guilt, you got shame, you're hopeless. Here's what the world's going to offer you. More possessions. Think that'll do it? Here's what the world's going to offer you. Go get power. Here's what the world's going to offer you. Entertainment. Amusement. Therapy. Behavior management. Here's what Jesus offers you. A new heart, a new mind, a new family, a new home, a new record, and you're alive because He lives. I invite you to Him. You say, Pastor, I'm a believer. Praise the Lord. Then let me just say this to you. Do not live your Christian life by imagination. Live it by divine revelation, and every day surrender to the Spirit of God. Come under the preaching of the Word, come under the study of the Word, but always seek the Spirit of God. Because whether it's coming to Christ in salvation or walking with Christ in sanctification, unless He comes to you, you can't follow Him and tell others about Him. And He comes to you through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And Luke has brought the lesson home. Now you come home to Him who gives life evermore. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Spirit of God, take this, the Word of God, and come to the hearts and lives of each and every person who is listening and joining together around the throne of grace. Come and do your work, I pray. Speak in your word, O Savior. By your Spirit, give us a hunger, a thirst for that word, and eyes to see and ears to hear.
Unless the Spirit of God opens the heart by the grace of God, no one can respond to the Word of God, either for salvation or for an intimate walk with Jesus Christ in sanctification. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request The Resurrection Day Ministry of Christ, 3 Encounters, 1 Lesson. Or simply ask for message number 15451. Again, that's message number 15451. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. That includes shipping and handling when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email us at inperspective@briarwood.org. In Perspective is an extension of the Briarwood Pulpit and the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. For more information about Briarwood or to review Christian resources available to you and your family, visit us online at briarwood.org or download the Briarwood app. Simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do hope that In Perspective is encouraging your walk in Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear back from you. Write Harry, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Or email inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.